You want more Blammo? Here it is. Before we start, I want to give you a bit of background on this. I think we've all watched the Mashburn brand just grow and grow, and it's been amazing to watch this company flourish. I really mean it. Sid is just a guy you want to see succeed, and he does. But he succeeds mainly because he makes you feel like you're on his team. And that's something I honestly kind of thought was a bit bogus for a bit. Like, oh, he's just selling to me. But Sid isn't. He really isn't. He's just so in his world that he doesn't know how to celebrate it without inviting someone else in it. And that is really special to me, and something I've honestly tried to emulate and encourage others to do throughout every part of my professional and personal life. No one wants to be left out, and if you're within a football field of Sid Mashburn, he will do everything he can to make it happen, and as you'll hear, practically to the detriment of himself. Sid and I chat about the nitty-gritty of expanding, and how do you grow in a way that doesn't kill you or your team, and how do you keep your team motivated and focused on what matters? Finally, Sid shares what gets under his skin these days, and yeah, I agree with him.
You know, a lot of times I'll get an email from a new listener or someone, and they'll say, I was trying to find as much Sid Mashburn interviews as I could find, and you had, you know, because you've been on Alton Brown's podcast.
Right, long time ago.
You've been on, and so what people are doing on things like Spotify and Apple and all that is they just search Sid Mashburn podcast. And so every podcast you've ever done comes up. And because I imagine Alton Brown's is probably bigger, but like I was up there, people just go and listen to it. And that's also how they're finding me in addition to more of you.
Yeah. I think the first time we'd spoken a lot, but the first time we spoke on mic was at the Hotel One back in the summer of 17 or 18. I think that was really our first or second sort of trunk show on our launch of On the Road. And the funny thing is the On the Road in a sense was really, you know, there is a romance about being on the road and taking product to people. But the girls, you know, Anne and Lizzie and Lon, and the strength of what they had done, because they had gone to customers in, I think, Charlotte, North Carolina, who were saying, would you please open a store? And we're like, well, we're not really going to open a store. And they're like, well, come to my house and we can do a house party. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
And we said, why don't we just go ahead and kind of formalize that, because we were doing that in a small way. And we said, let's put some more order around that and go for it. And so that first time there, it was janky for sure. And it's still a little janky. I mean, because it is on the road, but the guys that we have are unbelievable. And I think in the end, the you know, when we first started the business, or not first started, but when business was really kind of, the whole e-commerce thing was really hitting a full percolation.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about
when your Magento store was crashing over and over again from all the business you're doing.
Well, and what happened is people were talking about omni-channel.
Oh, okay.
You know, and the truth, and basically it was like, e-commerce and brick and mortar.
Right.
Well, the truth is omni-channel is wherever you want to do business.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think we see that now because people are sitting on the subway buying a, you know, a t-shirt on their phone.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we'll take things to a guy's house, you know, and pull it out of the trunk of the car and show it to him. And so anyway, the whole idea of being accessible and convenient to your customer is a luxury for the customer, but also it's just a way of doing business and ultimately taking care of them.
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably, you know, besides the fact that we want to do business and drive business, there's a heck of a lot of gratification over just being there for somebody when they need you.
Yeah. Well, when we first chatted, I don't think the LA store existed.
It was just getting
ready to pop.
It had started. Okay. Yeah. But was very, super nascent.
Cause I think the thing for me that's been really interesting is, you know, the whole on the road concept had started, but you know, I don't know, or I don't even know if you knew, it's like how often people were going to be coming back and how often you were going to be coming back. And now this is a thing where you might as well have a store here in the sense that you're always here.
Yeah.
The people that you're talking to, your clients know that you're going to come back.
Right.
There's just this clientele that you're building and refining, and also being able to store a lot of that stuff, you know, in the cloud per se. And people are able to continue buying from you when you're not even physically here.
Yeah. And I think the greatest catalyst here is really the word of mouth.
Yeah.
You know, and people telling their friends, hey, you should go check these guys out. I mean, as you know, that's the best form of advertising you can have anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Is a personal testimony.
Yeah.
You know, or WOMA, I think, as they call it. So anyway, it's really fun to see guys coming back and really being appreciative and grateful that we're coming up here. And that was, you know, if we fast forward back to December, that was a big decision on our part to say, you know what?
This was your physical store that you did in December of this.
That's right. And so we had, let me rewind
sure.
to 18. We did kind of an extended trunk show here in the Palace, which is the hotel behind St. Patrick's. It's the old Helmsley Palace, now the Lotte, well, I can't even pronounce yeah. it, Palace. It's a great place because we show in the towers there. And so in December of 18, we took the 52nd, 53rd, and 54th floors, and we put men's on the 52nd and women's on the 53rd, and then the you know, the clubhouse was on 54,
right?
Where we stored stuff and slept. And so anyway, that was kind of the launch of the pop-up store, because we extended the takeaway product that was available, and it wasn't just an MTM show.
Yeah, I mean, you had a lot of inventory. I mean, you have a lot of inventory now, but
yeah.
like there was, it wasn't just, when some people think pop-ups, they think like, hey, here's some SKUs and we're going to measure you and we'll see you in 6 weeks. And you know, you have one little roll and carry on. Here you have record players, you have, you know, you have multiple sizes of things. You have stacks of pants and shirts. And I mean, it's a store.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, the other surprise out of that was the women's. They kicked it up here in that December. I mean, it was really, you know, it felt like we were in a stocked pond, even though we were, you know, 52 stories in the sky. People were still coming upstairs to see right. this, which was cool. So that was sort of the unofficial launch of the pop-up shop. And then we did it again in, I think it was May of last year, and had a great response. And so then in this last December, we said, let's go ahead and extend this. And we were here for 17 days. And we were
during the holidays too.
During the holidays yeah. on 66th and Madison, which is a strong, you know, we study our zip codes from the e-commerce business, and the men's is very evenly distributed all around the city.
Mm.
Excuse me, I think the number one zip code is Chelsea, but only by a percent or two.
It's right.
not, you know, there's no real big discrepancy between any neighborhood for men's. Women's was primarily Upper East Side and Upper West Side. And so it was a great, it already had some great stickiness to being at 66th and Madison. It was also, it was an old J. Crew store.
Yeah.
It was where the bus let off.
Yeah.
And it was also the crosstown street where you go from the east side and you can cross the park over to the west side.
So all those things were informing your decision, like zip codes? I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And the other thing that was informing our decision is I should have, I won't say his name, but there's a real estate developer, and a developer, landlord, building owner,
sure.
who's a fantastic guy. And his son is a customer of ours, and he was always super encouraging about, you guys should come up here and try something for longer. And so his willingness to kind of take a chance on us opening a shop here, and our desire to say, hey, how would that work out? It was really a great, sort of team decision between them and us on what we want to try to accomplish. And, you know, these days, Jeremy, I mean, you live here in New York, so you see sort of the darkness and the disinterest and the,
just walk down Bleecker Street.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
so sad.
And yeah. I don't think the people realize that a certain amount of emptiness of that starts to affect the community at large.
Yeah.
And people start feeling bad.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, God, bummer. That store, I like that store. I didn't buy that much there, but I liked going in there because they had the dog in there. And, you know, they always gave me a cup of coffee and they were real nice.
Yeah.
And so it's, if you look up Madison, it's chock-a-block with empty spaces.
Yeah, it really is.
And so this gentleman, who, again, I wish I would have gotten his permission because he's a great guy. And I think that he is really kind of the, a little bit of the change agents among real estate owners and landlords to say, we're not going to just keep sitting on our hands. We're going to do something about, you know, the store closures. Because the store closures, a lot of people would place place a great deal of blame on the landlords. Mm. And it's not really the whole story. You know, there's never one poison arrow.
Right.
You know, there's multiple ones that can, you know, and you look at even the greatest stores that have closed here, it wasn't just because the rent stayed too high. You know, either they stopped innovating or their customer service fell off or they committed to something that was not appropriate for the customer or ultimately they just weren't taking care of their customer.
Yeah.
And the customer stops shopping there. So anyway, it was this business for us of going in that. It was crazy how many people would come in and say, thank you for opening up. And you're like, what does that mean? Thank you for opening up.
All right. Hear the rest of this episode and get access to many more things like our Slack group, Blammo Live, and more by joining us on Patreon. It is patreon.com/Blammo. Check it out and we'll see you there.